Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Mark Alsip. He calls himself a former fundamentalist, indoctrinated at six, and after that he came out of it, and that is why we are talking about it. We'll also talk about his book, Reason to Journey to Reason. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you, Ajay. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome to the show, Mark. You are welcome to India in this online form. And I'm sure not just in India, but a lot of people across the globe will benefit from what we are discussing right now. We'll be talking about navigating belief systems. So my first question is to understand, Mark, you have a bachelor's in computer science.
That's correct.
Minoring in math, mm-hmm. Additional 2 years of pre-med study. Yes. With this background, you went into some sort of a fundamentalist line. I want to understand how this happened, why this happened, how did you get drawn towards something which your education normally would ask you many questions to ask before taking any other path.
Sure. Well, actually, I started out as a young earth creationist in the fundamentalist sect. When I was about 6 years old, I was indoctrinated. I was told not to believe in science or else I would burn in hell forever. So that started out the first more than a decade, maybe two decades of my life. I was in that belief system that conflicted with my love of science, which kind of ran parallel to my church teaching. So there's a lot of conflict there for a young child when you're taught to live in two different worlds. Eventually, the world of reason and science won out, especially after the pre-med studies. So yes, as a child, I was actually threatened and indoctrinated, but then later on through my formal education, I came to see science and reason.
Wonderful, wonderful. But still, when you got indoctrinated or got into that thing, at a very early age, how did your mind still then look towards going towards science, studying science towards that? Because your natural reaction would be something, which you are learning from the other belief system. I'm a bit intrigued by that.
Yes, it's very hard to explain. I've heard a lot of people mention this, though. You tend to live in two worlds. It's a cognitive dissonance. But it works on both sides. When I was at church, I would believe exactly what the church told me to believe. When I was outside with my telescope looking at stars that had emitted light millions or billions of years ago, I knew that the church was wrong about a 6,000-year-old Earth, which is what they were telling me. But even though I felt guilty about it, and I would go inside after like a session under the stars and pray and ask God's forgiveness for disbelieving what my church told me was a biblical belief, the earth was 6,000 years old, I still managed to compartmentalize those beliefs, because when they conflicted, when they came together, there was a lot of trauma. Now, this did not work perfectly, and that's the point I bring out in Journey to Reason in my book, is that kids are smarter than we give them credit for. And when you teach them something as like dinosaurs and humans walk together, which never happened, and they go find out that's not the truth, there's a lot of conflict there. But because of the threats of fundamentalism, because of the threats of being tortured and punished forever, you tend to shove that to the back of your mind for a while, and then it comes back out and gets you.
Right. I totally understand. And I'm sure it's not just in one part of the world. It's across many parts of the world.
Oh, yes. Today. Yes. There are fundamentalists in not just my book is about Christian fundamentalism, but I have seen the same fundamentalism in Islam, Hinduism, Judaism. You pick a language and I can show you that there are fundamentalists. And I should stress that my book is not an anti-religious book. I know many people of many faiths who are wonderful people and do really good things. It's the fundamentalism. My church, for example, said you had to take every word of Scripture at face value, literally true. You would be condemned forever. And I know there are followers of other religions who believe the same thing about their scriptures. And that leads to a problem because those scriptures were written, you know, thousands of years ago in a different world, a different time. So we can't continue to live in the Iron Age.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mark. So that is where I want to understand for the audience is that scriptures are fine. In any belief system, it is fine. Those were written at that point in time. And yes. You take out all the good things that you want, all the personal things that you still want to follow, you'd find.
Yes,
but
sir.
We have also evolved as individuals, as human beings, and we have got this whole new understanding about everything that we see from a science point of view, from a medical science point of view.
Definitely.
So why do people still want, and not only that, somebody from, say, 10,000 or 6,000 years old is coming and asking you to do something or not do something. It is the present generation which will ask you to do something or not do something. What is it? Why do they do that? Secondly, why are they not involved? And what is it that they want from people like you and me?
That's a great question, and I wish I had a better answer to it. What I have found is that there are some people who lack critical thinking skills, okay, because of their educational system or for whatever reason, they won't look at things critically. They want things to be given to them in black and white, okay? So they don't have to make the decision for themselves. They have a higher power who is giving them all the rules. And when I was in the church, I felt comfort in that. I felt comfort and not having to make a decision about science or anything. It was already done for me. Somebody who was much more powerful and infinitely wise was making those decisions. And I think some people find comfort in that. Whereas in science, we by default admit that we don't know everything, right? And we're trying to search it out. There are some people who just can't stand the thought of not knowing, of not having everything all lined up for them with black and white answers. And I think that's maybe human nature. I'm not sure. I don't know if a better education would help. But yes, I think that's really it. I think some people are just uncomfortable not knowing, right?
Right, right. I understand. But again, the question comes to my mind is that to have belief system is not bad. Beliefs
right.
help you. Beliefs help you as part of, say, after science. What
yeah.
science cannot answer, your belief system will continue to give you hope when there is no hope. And that is the part you look at, as I said, after science or after death. You can look at life from a very different perspective. You can reach closer to God. You cannot see God. You can feel God. And that sort of a belief system helps you know, take you different directions positively. Why does it have to take you in a negative direction? That is where I want to understand what is it that people want. Do they want control or do they want to control your belief system? What is it that they want? Are they getting it? Are they not getting it? Because this has been going on for quite a number of years.
You've got valid points there. I know people who are really good people who have turned religion because of, for example, loss of a loved one or to recover from alcoholism or drug addiction. And I don't care. It doesn't hurt me in any way that they may have reached that belief system in something that I don't believe in because I don't believe in gods or the supernatural. But if it helps them and they're not forcing it on you or me, that's great. But to go back to the deeper part of your question, I remember being a fundamentalist and I was taught as a fundamentalist that when I was indoctrinated, that it wasn't just enough for me to hold a certain belief. My duty was to go out and convert everyone else to that belief too, because it was the one true belief. Everybody else was wrong. all the other religions were wrong. The people who didn't have religions were wrong. And I think it goes back to what I said earlier, where some people just are not comfortable not having a black and white view. The thing I hear from kind of my arch enemies here in Kentucky, Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham, the people who do the Ark Encounter, they're young earth creationists. And the thing I hear from them is that if we don't have a set of rules, such as scripture, if we don't have that set of rules with, you know, objective morality, then there are no morals. That's their false argument, right? They need to have something written down from thousands of years ago to give them an objective sense of what's right and what's wrong. And I think it goes back to the fact that they're just not comfortable saying, oh, I don't know. What drives them beyond that, I could not tell you, because it confuses me too. I know many religious people who are just wonderful. They're very comfortable with the thought of evolution. They know that the earth is 4.6 billion years old. You know, they don't have a problem with that. So I would like a deeper explanation too of why Ken Ham thinks that the earth has to be 6,000 years old, but you won't get straight answers from these people. They're brainwashed.
Right. The fact is they don't have to give reasons, except, you know,
they don't.
The belief system is much more different, much more special if you look at it that way. But if you start confining it within, forget about the belief system, within your own created belief system, then that is the problem. And that is not a belief system, then that is indoctrination.
It's indoctrination. And it's really interesting you mentioned that, because here in the United States especially, a lot of evangelical fundamentalists talk about not wanting to send their children to public schools because they say the public school is indoctrinating them. Ajay, nobody in my public school ever threatened to burn me forever in hell for getting an answer wrong on a test. Nobody in public secular school ever threatened me. Where I was threatened, where I was indoctrinated, was in my church. That's where the threats and the indoctrination occurs. So we need to be very clear about that. Schools are not indoctrinating people. They are laying facts out there. If you don't want to believe it, don't believe it. You're not going to be punished for it. But the indoctrination is going on in the fundamentalist sector.
Right, Mark. So now let's come to your book, Journey to Reason. What is in that book? Who is this book for? Is it for the people that need to read? Who has to read this book?
You know, the book is for people who may have been in faith at one point and left it and are still questioning, because it is hard to leave faith behind. It's very difficult. So there are words of comfort in there for someone who may be struggling with, you know, are they still worthy? Are they still a worthy person even though they've left faith? The book is also for religious people, because I don't come out and bash religion. I just ask religious people to please consider the difference between holding your belief and forcing that belief on others. Because right now in the United States, we have a huge problem. And this really is the call to action in my book. We have fundamentalists here who want to force their strict religious beliefs on everyone else in the country through laws and through book bans and through firing teachers if they happen to mention things. So the book is for anyone who really cares about a thriving democracy, who cares about really true freedom of religion, where everybody can worship as they want to worship. And it points out some dark, dangerous pictures of what will happen if we don't stop this slide into fundamentalism.
Right. So why do you think, is it who are supporting these people outside the, you know, the numbers that they might be, for whatever reasons? Is it because of more of politics, and that politics wants these people help for their own propaganda and for their own issues, and they support them, and they say that they are also supporting the people of whichever country they are?
Of course.
It's a sort of a dichotomy, if I I can understand it from that point.
No, I do. You're right. We have one politician now whose name I don't think I need to say, who pretends to be Christian-like and has evangelical support. And this person who I'm speaking of bragged about grabbing women by their genitalia. He is clearly not a Christian. However, the evangelical base sees him as a way to get their views, even though he doesn't really believe it, right? I'll say his name. Donald Trump does not really believe in Christianity, but he's willing to pander to the evangelicals to get their support. You don't really have to be a Christian to be a good politician here. You just have to pretend to be a good one, okay? That's all that's required. If you're any other religion, don't bother running for office. But so, yes, politicians, I think, have noticed that they get this fervent, unchanging, unswerving belief from the fundamentalist evangelicals, and they use them. They're openly using them as puppets, and I don't know how to change that.
Right, right. Now let's look at the people who are propagating the belief system. Let's look at it from that point of view for once. Let's talk about reason. If we talk about reason, what is reason? Reason is also about present knowledge of things. It is like Hubble showed us something, and then the web will show a clearer picture. In the same way, my reason today can be one way of reasoning things. Tomorrow, my reasoning will change with more information available. People who have the belief system, they will say that, listen, we have not come to the end of our belief knowledge, and that your reason will get challenged by the belief system because that is yet to unravel. How do we look at reason in that, you know, from that point of view, if somebody says from that angle?
I think the problem there is that you and I would probably agree that we look at reason with the default belief we don't know everything, and we are willing to change our mind when presented with new evidence. When you look at fundamentalists, they already have their mind made up. They will tell you they are reasoning. The young earth creationists here will tell you that they're scientists and they go to reason. But in their creed, even to be an employee of Answers in Genesis, for example, you must sign your name in writing that you will not change your beliefs. You really, literally, the employment application, I'm not kidding, I can send it to you. You literally admit that you will not use reason that disagrees with your presupposed conclusion. So reason kind of means two different things to two different people. Only one of those definitions is true. And that is, again, saying, I don't know, and I'm willing to change my mind. That is truly reason.
You have explained it well. Now, I cannot reason this because I can't put anything in writing. Means my thoughts, immediately I talk something and in few minutes I can get more knowledge about something and I can immediately change my view. You don't close your eyes to what you see and what you understand. Maybe somebody else again comes with something new and this keeps on evolving. That's why we also, even in constitution made by brilliant people all across the world, we still have the chance of a provisioning of amendments that as per the time, you can always make the amendment. You can't have a closed system where the constitution cannot be re-evaluated.
No, Ajay, if you look at it, the opposite of what we're talking about, you are saying up front, you will never admit you're wrong, even when you find out that you're wrong. Okay, that's really the truth of this. That you will not, Ken Ham must admit, he will not admit he's wrong, even if he finds out he's wrong. That's very dangerous thinking.
Yeah, I understand. And you see, this can lead to a lot of people. There are many democracies all across the world, and people have that freedom of speech. But sometimes, you know, Your freedom ends where my freedom begins. Exactly. And it starts encroaching my mind. Then that's a different way to look at it. You need to protect yourself. So how do we ask, say, parents or even children to protect themselves from things that they may not understand at this point in time? And just like in your case, at 6 years old, you would not have any idea and you went into that particular line. So how do you want to tell the children or their parents to look at these things, and how should they decide what is good or what not so good for them?
I would advocate for maybe being a little more careful about introducing young children to religion, or pay more attention to what's going on. If the church is telling them at a very young age, this is the only way you're allowed to think, that's probably should be a danger sign to you. I think that parents rightfully want the best things they can have for their children. And in a lot of countries, we just assume religion is a good thing, right? Religion's a good thing. There can't be any wrong there. But religion can do as much harm as it does good. It depends on the actions of the people in it. So if it was me, I would not subject my children to that type of indoctrination at a young age. I would encourage them to explore religion, because there is a lot to learn there. But maybe at a little bit later of an age, or maybe in a church or a synagogue or a mosque where they are telling you, oh, there are other belief systems. It all really goes down to education. If children don't get a good, solid education, then they're not going to be able to have critical thoughts. And if you don't have critical thoughts, you have no defense against the indoctrination, because you're just going to accept it blindly. So education, and perhaps be a little more careful about what our children are learning.
Right. And now you know about both the sides. You have been on the other side. You have also, you know, about science. So how should people look at, are science and belief systems or religion, are they on opposite sides, or they are on the same side, but we are not able to make that assessment in the right manner?
Good question. I really don't think that science really has any comment on religion at all. I've never been in a science class where they mention religion, ever, not once. Science really, truly is a study of, well, I could go on with a really long definition, but I'll just say the natural world around us. It's just an effort to learn. So there is no commentary in science about religion. Religious people who find disagreement with science will tell you, oh, they're anti-religious. But I can't stress that enough. There's nothing in science that has a comment on religion. The problem occurs when religious people say, oh, that scientific belief, like evolution, disagrees with my religion, and they're causing conflict. Now, I know religious people who have no problem with the thought of evolution. All in all, I don't know that the two are completely compatible, because religion at some point does require you to believe in this all-powerful, well, most religions, an all-powerful creator. And I actually, as a scientist, I could admit that. I would accept that if I found evidence for it. But the evidence is, even though I admit it may be possible, the evidence isn't leaning that way right now. So to answer your question, I don't know if the two can ever reconcile. I do know a lot of religious people who reconcile. I know a lot of scientists who really just, they do their science, they have their religion, they're two separate things, and it's not a problem. I don't know why we have these fundamentalists who are so insistent. I mean, it's why we can't have nice things is the saying we have in the United States. This is why we can't have nice things, because some people want to force the beliefs on us.
Wonderful. Explained. There is much to learn from you, understand about all these things from you, Mark, from your book. So I'm sure a lot of people would like to know more about you, from you, understand more from your book. What is the best way for them to connect with you?
There are several ways. the simplest way probably is to go onto Google and look for Mark Alsup. My book is on Amazon.com. So if you look for Mark Alsup there, there are actually two books under my name, but this book, Journey to Reason, is the first one I authored. I have a website, alsup.net, just my last name, which we see on your screen right now. If you throw a .net on the end of that, it will take you to a website. It has my biography. And I do have another blog. It's a science blog called Bad Science Debunked. If you go to badsciencedebunked.com. But once again, just go to the web and search for Mark Alsup, and you'll find me. But definitely, I would encourage folks to go to Amazon and check the book out. If you're a Kindle Unlimited subscriber, the book is a free download, so you can try it with no obligation. And you'll see about my journey, and I hope it resonates with people.
Wonderful. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.